Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. With this last Sunday, the church begins to think Pentecost thoughts and will for quite some time. One of the ways that those thoughts are expressed and taught and woven into the life and the vocabulary of the church is through the church's hymnody. That'll be a good idea as we embark upon the Sundays after Pentecost to study a Pentecost hymn on this Friday afternoon, May the 24th, here in the second hour of the program, O Day Full of Grace. It's a Pentecost hymn. It's kind of odd, though, because it sings a lot about Jesus before it gets to, I think it's stanza four, before it actually mentions anything about Pentecost or the Holy Spirit, usually mistaken for the proper emphases of Pentecost. Why is that? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email as we study this Pentecost hymn with Dr. Stephen Hine. Talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies. He taught theology for 24 years at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you this afternoon.
Perusing the stanzas of this Pentecost hymn, and notice that Pentecost doesn't get mentioned until stanza four. We'll get to that a little bit later, but there's a lot of Jesus talk in this hymn. Is it, in fact, a Pentecost hymn? Is that wrong for Pentecost?
Well, no, I don't think it's wrong for Pentecost at all, but I think when we get into looking at these verses, we could recognize in a certain sense it's a hymn for all seasons. And it is a hymn for all seasons, and I think very fitting also on Pentecost when we understand, of course, and review a little bit, of course, the role of the Spirit, which is to illuminate. And that we might hear clearly the grace that comes to us only from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Pentecost is not where we leave Christ behind, but rather in the life of the church, the Spirit becomes that particular one which shines the light for us upon our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may have on any day in the life of the church a day of grace.
You say that there's an interesting background to this hymn. What is it?
Well, it does. Many of our hymns, there's a listing, and a certain person wrote the hymn, and then somebody else put the tune, and there you have it. That pretty well says, once you know who the author is of the words and then also of the tune, well, you have the history. With this particular one, however, things are a little bit different. This hymn actually goes back to a Danish folk hymn that actually began first as a poem in Denmark somewhere around the middle of the 15th century. And early on, even before the Reformation, was turned into a hymn. But yet, as we look at it through history, it seems to have undergone changes, both in relationship to its lyrics or the wording of it, as well as the tune that has been put to it. Probably the most popular, at least among Danish Lutherans in our country, is a particular rendition, and it's not the one that's in our hymnal, but one that was done in 1826 by Nikolai Grundtvig, a real saint in the Lutheran Church in Denmark in the beginning of the 19th century. And he recast the wording of this hymn in 1826 to mark a commemoration of the 1,000th anniversary of Christianity being brought to Denmark. And that actually, that version of this hymn is one, if listeners were to go online and check some of your famous Lutheran choirs here at St. Olaf or at Luther College, you will find renditions of the Grundig version of this hymn being sung there. Very popular, particularly in American Lutheran histories, and particularly those of Danish background, this particularly was a popular hymn in Grundig's wording, but you can see it even in the wording that we have in our Lutheran service book. The last verse has made this also a very popular hymn sung at funerals. And as it whisks and speaks of how it is that we make that final journey that Christ is preparing for us, where all joys of heaven are shared as we walk in the light of God's place with angels' names adoring. That's the last verse of the hymn. And so many have found this a very fitting hymn also in the context of celebrating the life of glory of brothers and sisters in Christ who have headed off to the many mansions that God is preparing for us.
Before we get into the first stanza, with only a minute or so here, the term grace is used quite often here in the course of this Pentecost hymn. And there are various definitions held by various people of that term grace. How does Holy Scripture define the term, with about a minute or so?
Well, we, in our study of Greek, we always were to learn that the word grace, charis, meant gift. Yet as we also think, and that Luther particularly had this strong sense of the word grace, that the gift is that the scriptures are speaking of are not just generic gifts, but it is the favor of God that we have through the saving work and gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ. Technically, at least, the Greek word charis, from which we get the word grace, means gift, but particularly it's not talking in the scriptures with most of its references just about any gifts or generic gifts or even many different gifts that God may have to us, but rather the saving gift. That is the righteousness of Christ or the forgiveness of sins by which we have favor with God.
Here is the first stanza of O Day Full of Grace. O Day Full of Grace that now we see appearing on earth's horizon, bring light from our God that we may be replete in his joy this season. God, shine for us now in this dark place, your name on our hearts emblazon. James Carroll, under the direction of Carl Schalk, with the first stanza of the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. What is in this stanza, this first one, for us, Dr. Hine?
Well, that first one there, as we said, this is a hymn which really fits in so well just in about every season. Here we see a poetic version of what we find in the first chapter of John's Gospel. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And here we have in this first verse just an absolute beautiful picture of that epiphany of our Lord, of that morning star appearing as you see that allusion there in that first verse, appearing on earth's horizon, there in the east, the sun appears. Bright light from our God, that we may be replete with his joy this season. Well, it's the season here that we see of Christmas, and the season particularly of Epiphany that this first verse focuses in on as we look at how we move in the life of Christ through the church year. The light that shines in this dark place is, of course, the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, filling, of course, this fallen, sinful world.
With only about a minute here, it says your name on our hearts emblazoned. How is it concretely that God emblazons his name on the heart?
That emblazing occurs for all of us also as we think in terms of the beginning of our Lord coming into the world. We may think of also his beginning coming into our heart. And that occurring in the context of baptism. As we note in our baptismal liturgy, the sign of the cross put upon the forehead and put upon the heart, where our Lord Jesus is going to, by the power of his word with water, going to be making us his own.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're looking at the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace, on this Friday afternoon, May the 24th. Dr. Hine is a regular guest and director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies. He taught theology for 24 years at Concordia University, Chicago. As we continue studying this hymn, I invite your questions and your comments. We are coming to you live as we study O Day Full of Grace, 1-877-623-MYIE, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address @issuesetc.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're studying the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. with Dr. Stephen Hine. He's director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, taught theology for 24 years at Concordia University Chicago, and he's going to be making a presentation at this summer's Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education Conference. Tell us a little bit about this conference, Dr. Hine.
We're looking forward to this conference this July 16th through 18th. It's the 13th Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, hosted by the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, in which two things are going to be very special about this conference. First of all, is we're going to be having some intensive service events, which simply will not be simply an hour on a particular topic, but an opportunity to go more in depth over the course of 3 days over various areas involving Lutheran education and theology. And secondly, after working for about 3 years, we're going to be rolling out a classical Lutheran educator certification program that we hope will be of interest to educators and homeschoolers who have embraced a classical approach to education in providing both benchmarks and equipping opportunities to really become quite well acquainted and adept at classical Lutheran education. So I want to invite all our listeners to consider coming to this conference. We think it's going to be our best one yet.
Folks, you can find out more about the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July the 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Before the break, you mentioned that first stanza, at least the latter part of it, is rooted in the beginning of John's Gospel, with talk of darkness and light. In particular were you referring?
Well, particular, and I think actually in the rendition that we have, again, as we mentioned, this is a hymn that has different strands of tradition. And it is particularly the second verse, which we will hear in the LSB edition, which in many ways, in hymn 503 in LSB, is kind of a repeat of the first verse that we have already heard, which really wants to focus on the significance of the incarnation, the significance of Christ coming to earth, he being the light that dispels the darkness. And the light, the darkness, first of all, is the fallenness of this world and the fallenness of us. And that which, of course, brings to light with the truth of God's mercy is none other than the grace which he brings to us. He is the God with us, the Emmanuel, who comes to shed his light and his grace and truth. And nothing is better juxtaposed there about all of this than in John's first chapter, where he wants to talk about how the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. And I see in these first two verses, actually, a strong emphasis upon Jesus as being the light, that enlightens us and lightens our burdens through the day of grace, which, of course, is each day upon which our Lord comes to us, both in history and in his word and sacrament to us.
So, in short, what should we be listening for in the second stanza we're about to hear?
What I would like to call attention to is the ways in which the same light of the world and the grace that is in that light can be expressed again with different language, but pretty well repeating pretty much the same things as in verse number one. Go ahead and listen to verse number two and see how that goes also here, with the Lord on earth arriving. Again, this emphasis on incarnation, the great joy of Christmas.
O day full of grace, O blessed time, our Lord on the earth arriving, then came to the world that light sublime, great joy for us all retrieving, for Jesus all mortals did embrace, all darkness and shame removing.
O day full of grace, O blessed time, our
Dr. Hine, you mentioned history before, and we often talk about how Christ entered history, how the incarnation is God entering human history, and that's true enough as far as it goes. But is it more? Is Christ's entrance into history, into time, really is it in fact the proper focus of all time and all history? It doesn't just change history; it is becomes the center of history, doesn't it?
Well, it's the center of history. It's the meaning of history, and yet, as we can talk about this saving work of Christ, particularly when we think of the opening line and the refrain, "O day full of grace." Well, what day is that? Well, it is that day upon which we meet. In so many different ways and contexts, the graciousness of our Creator who has become our Redeemer in Christ Jesus. And so the day of grace also is every Lord's Day. The day of grace is as He shows up among His people and bestows upon us His saving gifts. Each day may be the day of grace as God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, brings His favor upon us. And so that's really every day until, of course, we leave this history or Christ brings it to a close.
Talk a bit about the one line there in stanza two before we hear the third one. "For Jesus all mortals did embrace." What's being said there?
I think what we see in that is kind of the flip side of John 3:16. "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That when Jesus came into this world, it was not just for the embrace of Israel. It was not just for the embrace of the good people. It was not just for the embrace of the well-heeled or the influential. It was for the embrace of all of us. So that when we think in terms of that universality, we may always count ourselves among that number.
So it's really speaking there of the of what Jesus does in taking, in His case, not mortality, as He has no mortality of His own, only ours that He bears on our behalf, but taking all of humanity up into Himself in His incarnation.
Yes, He becomes the He becomes the every man. Indeed, on the cross, every sinful man. He takes our place. He is the representative new creation as well. He is both. When we want to understand what it means to be human, truly human as God really created us to be, we look, of course, to our Lord and recognize that is not only what He intended us to be, but through His saving gifts and promises, that by His grace, which is ours, is what we will become.
Stanza three, picking up right there, "For Christ bore our sins and not His own when He on the cross was hanging, and then He arose and moved the stone that we unto Him belonging might join with an angelic host to raise our voices in endless singing." Dr. Hine, we only got a minute or so before our break. You got to kind of marvel at the skill of the poetry here in putting so much sound doctrine into so few words.
In a few words, yes. Notice here one thing, and maybe we can talk about it after break. Notice in the second lying there. And then he arose and moved the stone. Notice the sequence. Notice the sequence there, right? That is there. I think that's rather interesting. Maybe we'll have a chance to remark on that. But notice how this verse focuses our attention not simply to the incarnation and coming into the world, but why he came into the world to suffer and die, not for his own sins, but for ours, and then rising again for our justification there. That who humbled himself and became obedient even unto the cross. And then God exalts him, and we get to join in the praise.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest for studying the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace, on this Friday afternoon. It's May the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
You might have heard recently about Pope Francis making some statements about who can be saved, who can't be saved. He's representing kind of a classical Roman Catholic view, certainly not a Reformation view of salvation there. I did not intend to time the Issues Etc. Journal's latest article with that. The Pope has his own timing, of course, but it is apropos of this discussion of how God saves sinners. Remember when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me? It's a prayer. If it is possible, what is the Father's answer to that prayer? The answer is, it isn't. It is not possible. You must die so that I might save the world. There are things that God cannot do, and he cannot spare Jesus and save the world. So just because God is all-powerful doesn't mean he can do anything. We ought to give thanks that he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That's kind of the theme of the Issues Etc. Journal's latest article called What God Cannot Do. And you can read it for yourself. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big red button there. If you click on that and enter your email address, you're subscribed absolutely free to the Issues Etc. Journal. You'll also find the Wittenberg Trail feature where Pastor John Fraser has written about his journey from self-focus to Christ-focus. Issuesetc.org. Look for the big red button. We're talking about the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. Jay is listening in Texas. Hi, Jay.
Good afternoon. I had the pleasure of singing this hymn Sunday in the Divine Service. I almost sort of choked on the phrase in the third verse, and then he arose and moved away the stone. Matthew 28:2 clearly seems to state that the angel of the Lord rolled away the stone.
It's a great question, a great observation. I've had the same question about that line as well. But Dr. Hine, there is actually some genius in the way that the hymn writers put this together, isn't there?
I think so. There's a couple of things. The first thing I would want to mention here, let me take up that thought here, but the first one that I want to have here relates to an issue of sequence here, and that is that that the exaltation that our Lord, with those words, "It is finished," as he dies on the cross, moves from that particular point into exaltation. The raising up in the victory of the cross begins first in hell. The descent into hell and the proclamation of that victory first for the souls imprisoned before us. And that very much a part of what we might think in relationship to the glorified, raised up Christ. Even before the stone moves, shall we say. But then to your point, just something that when we encounter the angel of the Lord in the scriptures, there is always somewhat of an ambiguity. That is to say that throughout many occasions, when an individual has come into contact with the angel of the Lord, they have been quite convinced that they have just seen, as it were, the presence of God himself. Think in terms of Jacob wrestling, quote-unquote, with the angel of the Lord. Now, granted, angels are not the Creator God, and Creator God are not angels, but sometimes God shows up, as it were, in the form of an angel, and who knows, maybe the hymn writer here is thinking that that is exactly what happened in relationship to what is reported in there in Matthew in terms of the angel of the Lord rolling away the stone and then speaking to the women, as we find there.
Well, for years I was inclined to kind of just chalk this one up to poetic license. It fit better with the rhyme scheme. And then I thought to myself, you know, if you read it in the context of the next line, he may not be talking... The hymn writer may not be referring to the stone over Jesus' sepulcher, but the stone over ours.
Ah.
He arose and moved the stone that we unto him belonging might join with an angelic host to raise our voices in endless singing. I'm inclined to think he's talking there about Christ's resurrection followed by ours. He moves the stone from our tomb and lets us
out. Interesting thought. One wonders how this, of course, was rendered in Danish. Whether somehow there are ambiguities here in English that somehow have some clarity. But that's an interesting observation. Certainly would fit because we're brought into the matter here right after the move stone, that we unto him belonging might join the angelic hosts. Interesting observation, and I think that may very well have been the hymn writer's focus here.
Stanza 4, God came to us then at Pentecost, his Spirit new life revealing, that we might no more from him be lost, all darkness for us dispelling. His flame will the mark of sin efface and bring to us all his healing. Fourth stanza of the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. We're studying it with Dr. Stephen Hine. Dr. Hine, what's in this fourth stanza?
Well, it's rather interesting. The event here being marked in relationship to Pentecost, his Spirit new life revealing. But after that first line, he came to us then at Pentecost, the entire rest of the line is what comes indeed there on Pentecost, but is a response that Peter makes after people are cut to the quick in relationship to his sermon, when he charges them, you know, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and of these things we are witnesses. And then it says the people are cut to the quick, what are we to do? And then comes Peter's response. And it seems to me it's Peter's response in verse 38 of chapter 2 and 39 that this hymn verse here picks up, where he says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This fourth verse wants to talk about the significance of Pentecost as the Pentecost that comes to us, where the Spirit, as it were, brings us the saving work and gifts of Christ in holy baptism, that the Spirit begins his work of bringing us to Christ, of working faith in Christ, of bringing about that adoption in Christ right there in holy baptism. And it is in that context that we then no more from him are lost. And that is where the darkness is dispelled in our life it becomes the same sort of event that is spoken of in a general way in the first two verses of the light that comes into the world. Well, here is the light that comes into our lives, our Lord Jesus Christ, in baptism. And it is his flame, that flame of his grace, that flame and light of his saving mercy, that removes sin and its power in our lives and brings us the healing, the washing of regeneration, and the cleansing from all unrighteousness.
I was going to say that it's not common to hear of baptism referred to as a flame, but of course Jesus himself promises when he's talking about John's baptism, I baptize you with water. John the Baptist says of Jesus' baptism, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
With fire, yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's not a second baptism. It's the result of the same baptism. The flame is the result of the water, isn't it?
Yes, and it makes the connection, it seems to me, between the two from the manifestation that comes there in the upper room when the disciples first receive the Spirit, to then, of course, the outworking of that at the end of his sermon, pointing the rest of us to how that flame is going to work in our life in Christian baptism.
So when should we think of something like, when we hear that line, his flame will the mark of sin efface, erasing sin from us, should we think of something as tangible, as concrete, as the words we hear in Holy Absolution on Sunday morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is, of course, where every Sunday morning we begin at that baptismal font, repeating the effect of just what Peter is promising in baptism. being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, we begin our worship with those words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, where oftentimes neither pastor nor people know exactly what is it that we are invoking there. We're not saying good morning in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We rather are invoking those first words, those Pentecostal words, if I might use that term, of the first words that God spoke to us at that font, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, where our sins were forgiven and we received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest, director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, taught theology for 24 years at Concordia University of Chicago. When we come back, we're going to look at the final stanza and the entire hymn of O Day Full of Grace. When we on that final journey go that Christ is for us preparing, we'll gather in song our hearts aglow, all joy of the heavens sharing, and walk in the light of God's own place with angels his name adoring. We'll hear that stanza, and we'll get Dr. Hine's final thoughts on the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace, in the last 10 minutes of the program. Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300. Stanza 5 of the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. Dr. Hine, you said that this last stanza makes this hymn appropriate for a Christian funeral. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I meant is that, and it had been chosen, particularly of those of Danish Lutheran background, often the departed, as they would talk about their own funeral, would request this O Day of Full of Grace to be sung at their funeral, and particularly in light of the comfort that it can bring those who celebrate their dear brother or sister in Christ who has now headed off to the many mansions as the final journey. So we see this picture here in the final verse of joining our Lord in glory, all joys of the heaven sharing, the walk in the light of God's own place, interesting reference to heaven there, with angels his name adoring. So a hymn of praising God, a hymn also of thankfulness, of taking this dearly beloved brother or sister to that heavenly home and singing the final praise in this hymn that has brought to completion that life which at the first verse was made possible by our Lord entering into history, and then all that he has done for our brother and sister in Christ through their baptism, keeping them in the faith to join the angels in the full praise of God adoring.
You say that there is a stanza not included in the English version we're using here, with only about 30 seconds. Tell us about that one.
We began by talking about how this hymn has an interesting history of a number of different translations, and one of the popular ones that you can hear online, there are many YouTube versions of that with Lutheran choirs, is the Grundig 1826 version. And in the fourth stanza, he wrote the fourth stanza to be a 1,000-year commemoration of the church in Denmark, and it went like this. As birds in the morning sing God's praise, his fatherly love we cherish, for giving to us this day of grace, for life that shall never perish. His church he has kept these 1,000 years, and hungering souls did nourish. You'll hear that verse being sung as the fourth verse on many renditions of this hymn that are sung in Lutheran colleges and universities these days.
Let's hear the entire Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace.
Thank you.
The James Chorale with the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. Dr. Hine, your final thoughts on this hymn?
Yes. There was a sign on a famous seafood restaurant that was always so humorous. It used to say on one wall, free crab tomorrow. For those, of course, who were broke and loved crab, of course, there was no good news in that at all because tomorrow never comes. The day of grace, for those who are listening loaded down with guilt, with a sense of lostness, the day of grace is today. The day of grace is every day, and the day of grace is forever.
Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies. He taught theology for 24 years at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
Folks, if you enjoy Hymn Studies Monday on Issues, etc., we've got another great one for you. We're going to study the hymn Holy, Holy, Holy following the church's celebration of Trinity Sunday. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. Also on Monday, we'll get a Memorial Day reflection on the Vietnam War from Dr. Uwe C. Minetto, who covered the war as a reporter in Saigon from 1965 to 1969. Then Tuesday, we're going to talk with Mary Eberstadt about the decline of the family and of religion in Western culture. That is Monday and Tuesday on Issues, Etc. Folks, I like two-bird, one-stone solutions, those both-and solutions. We got all sorts of them around here at Issues, Etc., where you get to do two things at once. You can both promote your confessional Lutheran congregation. I know that you are proud to be a member of a faithful congregation. You can both promote your congregation, and you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. It's two birds, one stone, both and, by being part of the Issues, Etc. 300. Your congregation joins by supporting Issues, Etc. with $1,000 or more in its mission or advertising budget, and your congregation becomes both a supporter of Issues, Etc., and they get a chance to tell everybody about themselves and the faithful preaching and teaching and administration of the sacraments through Issues, Etc. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, our congregational support program, at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the support page, there's a one-page flyer you can download and print off when you go to your congregation and ask them to join or renew their membership in the Issues, Etc. 300. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Well, you know, you sometimes hear from people that the liturgy itself is a barrier to reaching out with the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's just a bunch of baloney.
Pastor Will Whedon on his presentation, Classical Christian Worship, at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer in Collinsville, Illinois.
The liturgy itself is overwhelmingly the very Word of God by which the outreach takes place. And it is an incredibly crafted balance of stuff that stays the same and of stuff that changes. So it has stability and variety automatically built into it, and it frees up the pastor to work on proclaiming the mystery of Christ that that particular liturgy is holding up for the people on that day. I think it's a great outreach tool rather than thinking of it as something that's a barrier.
Register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th, in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.